Welcome to another podcast from CopyEditing.com. I'm Grant Barrett, contributing editor to the Copy Editing Newsletter. In the last podcast, we spoke to a teacher in Mexico who encounters style and composition issues in the professional English writing of Spanish speakers. In this podcast, we'll talk to Joe Clark in Toronto about the style of Canadian English. It falls somewhere between the American and the British ways of writing. The spelling, punctuation, pronunciation, and even words themselves are just different enough in Canada that they can trip up outsiders. Joe has written a book about it called Organizing Our Marvelous Neighbors. What brought you to a place where you thought that you needed to write a book about Canadian English?
I was a journalist for a very long time, and I had a book out already. I also have a degree in linguistics. And there came a time in 2008 when I ran across this very high-end coffee table book about Toronto architecture written by two writers in Toronto with photography by a writer from Toronto, but it was entirely typeset in British English with single quotation marks and words like aluminium instead of aluminum and all dollar values turned into British pounds, and I thought, this is colonialism. So then I started to double-check and see if what I'd learned all along was still true. Is there still such a thing as a distinct form of Canadian spelling, and has that changed because of the internet and blogs and so on? And the answer, quite to my surprise, was that yes, there really is still to this day a distinctive form of Canadian spelling, and it's completely unchanged by the internet. It's going strong, actually, on things like Canadian blogs. And thus was the project called Organizing Our Marvelous Neighbors born.
I knew that the Canadians didn't accept all of the American style of writing, and I knew that they didn't accept all of the British style writing. What have they accepted?
Well, of course, in all forms of English, most words are spelled the same way, right? Because there's really only one spelling for most words. But we have mixed the UK and US forms in different ways. All the verb forms that end in I's, so I-Z-E or Y-Z-E, we use I-Z-E or Y-Z-E, and not I-Z-E or Y-Z-E, and not I-S-E or Y-S-E. So we use the American form for a word like organize, right? But for O-R forms like color and honor, we use the British, C-O-L-O-U-R and H-O-N-O-U-R. So we mix and match certain British and American forms. We are also kind of picky about which nouns we choose from which country. So if you wanted to pay for something but didn't pay for it electronically and you wrote a check for it, we use the British C-H-E-Q-U-E. But the tire on your car is a T-I-R-E. It is not a T-Y-R-E. So we mix and match from the two founding peoples who gave us the English language.
Now, the Brits do permit I-Z-E endings. It's just not standard, right?
According to legend, that was the original British usage, and it is still, if memory serves, the Cambridge University style. But it's gone out of favor, and now the only people who use I-Z-E and Y-Z-E endings are Canadians and Americans. Everyone else in the entire world uses I-S-E. So even though the Z endings, or the Z endings, as you'd say in American, were the original British form, that's just been pushed aside. You know, the Canadians have adopted the American standard on that, but we kept a lot of the British ones alongside.
So this is a matter of orthography, but some of the differences are a matter of style. I understand that the Canadian date style is very much at odds with the American date style.
Yeah, it's the same. We got that one from the Brits. So if you have to write a date in numbers, which is a really bad idea, because it's always confusing no matter how you cut it, we do day, month, year. So 5-7-10 is July the 5th, 2010. It is not May the 7th, 2010. So if you have a U.S. material that comes into Canada, for example, a poster for a movie when the movie's opening, and they foolishly write the date in numbers, we can't really tell which one they mean, right? Because unless one of the numbers is above 12, you're not quite sure which is the day and which is the month. So we put date first, month second, year third, if we write it in numbers. It's still a bad idea. You really shouldn't do that. You should avoid it. There's a million ways to write dates unambiguously, like May 7th, 2010, or 2010-5-7. And there's a million ways to do it unambiguously, but if you have to write it in numbers, we do it differently from the United States.
And the Canadians haven't fully adopted the metric system either, right?
Well, officially, yes. If you looked at certain federal government websites and most provincial and territorial government websites, really, you really wouldn't find any imperial measures there whatsoever. But in real-world usage, essentially 100% of the Canadian population refers to temperatures in Celsius. So today it's 11 degrees and rainy out in Toronto. But things like our personal heights and weights are still imperial for almost everybody. I'm 5'11" and 200 pounds. I'm not 187 centimeters or whatever it is, and 88 kilograms or whatever it is. Really, no one ever uses that. But at the grocery store, everything's metric, even though the price tag written on it, the handwritten price tag on the entire shelf of that same bit of produce, for example, might say $2.99 a pound. When you bring it to the scale, it's only ever rectified in grams. Hmm. So we have not quite adopted the metric system, and that may never change, actually.
This sounds like quite a muddle if you're trying to get things right on paper or in print.
Yeah, well, yes, but we tend to write the unit, don't we? I mean, even Americans tend to write the unit. I'm going to the corner store to get a gallon of milk, right? But you didn't just say, I'm going to the corner store to get one of milk. You always put the unit there. So since people always write the unit, we know what you're talking about. It's just that the common usage does mix and match the imperial and metric forms.
Let's say that I am editing the work of a reporter who has parachuted into Canada to handle some political issue or another, and you know, they've sent back some copy. What are the things that I should be looking for? I understand that the ton is not quite the same and that we tend to mess up the pronunciation of premier. You know, if I was a radio reporter, I might not get that right. Is that correct?
Yeah, you just messed it up. Well, the first thing is, if you've got an American reporter in Canada, one thing they don't have to change is quotation mark rules.
Okay.
We use American quotation mark rules, lock, stock, and barrel, no change. So none of this British single quotes first business. It's just American quotation mark rules all the way. So they'll be comfortable with that. It's true that the concept of the ton, T-O-N, in imperial measurement, and also the sort of metaphorical thing, I got a ton of work to do, has been sort of over-regularized in Canada. So you find a lot of writers in very classy, well-edited press, like important daily newspapers and so on, will sort of metricate that to the word ton, T-O-N-N-E, which is a real word. It means a metric ton or 1,000 kilograms. But that's just a mistake, right? Because in that metaphorical usage, when you have a ton of work, you don't actually have a certain number of pounds or a certain number of kilograms, right, or a certain number of drams or a certain number of, you know, feathers or quills or anything. There is no measurement involved. It's strictly metaphorical. So your American reporter in Canada would still have a ton of work to do, but it'd just be a T-O-N.
I see.
And our dear American friends also tend to get our provinces and territories wrong. Not many Americans think we have states in Canada. I think we've kind of solved that problem. They're not quite clear that we have 10 provinces and 3 territories, because that's weird for them, but that's easy enough to explain. You can kind of explain that, right? But the elected head of a province, all 10 provinces and 2 of the territories, is called a premier. And it's spelled P-R-E-M-I-E-R. There is no R-E on the end. It's P-R-E-M-I-E-R. There's no change in that spelling, and it's always pronounced premier. It is not premier or premier or premier, which are just 3 of the many pronunciations of those various words that Americans have. So the premier of the province of Ontario may have made a speech at the legislature today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the premier of the province of British Columbia may have appeared at the premiere of a movie that was shot in Vancouver. So you can use those 2 words, 2 different senses, 2 different spellings, 2 different pronunciations, but only in Canadian.
This kind of consistency is useful for a newspaper which wants to present a common style to its readers, and so that they're not stopping in their tracks when they're reading something by encountering something different. But I would imagine that Canadians are pretty used to seeing very American style and very British style and very Canadian style, that they're pretty ready and willing to accommodate all the different ways that these things might be spelled or punctuated or set in type.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just that we have the British and the American influences in our history. We voraciously read your media. We get all your newspapers, we get all your magazines, we get all your TV shows, but we also get British newspapers and magazines and TV shows. And this was true even before the internet. So we voraciously read both countries' sources. So we accept when reading American sources, they'll use American spelling, and when reading British sources, they'll use British spelling, including crazy words like aluminium and those stupid single quotation marks. We just accept all that. We get a bit upset, though, when Canadians try to use straight American spelling and usage or straight British spelling and usage. We might look the other way if you're an American living in Canada or a British person living in Canada, because in those respective cases, you have a national heritage and like a national practice you can fall back on. But if you were born and raised here, we really do look down on you when you write center as C-E-N-T-E-R, or the tire of your car is T-Y-R-E, that sort of thing. That's just wrong if you're living here, right? We expect you to adopt the mixed Canadian standard. but we're not offended to read your American English.
Your book is called Organizing Our Marvelous Neighbors. This is available for sale online at your website at en-ca.org.
Sure, or the easiest thing to do is just Google it. And you can use any spelling because Google will silently fix your spelling.
Tell me about the title. So the title is basically a mix of four words that are spelled differently in different places.
Only in Canada could a title like Organizing Our Marvelous Neighbors be spelled Organizing with a Z, right, not a Z and not an S. Marvelous with two L's, which is a matter of some dispute. Those double consonants are used about 50% of the time by Canadian writers. So the trick is just decide to do that or not to do that and always be consistent. And neighbors, always with a U in Canadian. So Americans would write organizing with a Z, marvelous with one L, and neighbors without a U. But the Brits would write organizing with an S, marvelous with two L's, and neighbors with a U. So we don't do it the same way that the Americans or the Brits do, and all those things are true in converse. It's if I tried to present this as an American English title or a British English title, it'd be misspelled. Only in Canada is it correct.
Joe Clark, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, pleasure was all mine.
Joe's book is Organizing Our Marvelous Neighbors. You can find him and it at en-ca.org. That's all for this podcast. If you have questions or comments or you'd like to suggest an interview to us, drop us a line at copydesk@copyediting.com. For more about language, more practical usage advice, and more podcasts, visit copyediting.com. For copyediting.com, I'm Grant Barrett. Thanks for listening.